Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May 24th, Pope Leo thanks Vatican employees and tells them prayer and faith are the ingredients which will flavor their work. The Holy See calls for concrete efforts to disarm the world as attacks in Ukraine cause increasing concern. And we speak to the Apostolic Nuncio to the European Union. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Pope Leo XIV on Saturday gave a warm welcome to Vatican employees, thanking them from the heart, as well as their families, and reminding that faith and prayer are like salt, which gives flavor to food, and that by regularly turning to these key ingredients, they will best offer their everyday tasks and responsibilities. He also observed that popes come and go, but the curia remains. Chris Wells reports.
La fede e la preghiera sono come il sale per i cibi, danno sapore.
Faith and prayer are like salt and food. They give it flavor, Pope Leo XIV said on Saturday, recommending these two practical and prayerful ingredients for Vatican employees to always use amply in their daily tasks.
Cerchiamo di farlo prima di tutto con il nostro comportamento nelle situazioni di ogni giorno. A partire anche dall'ambiente lavorativo.
It marked the Holy Father's first encounter since being elected Pope with officials of the Roman Curia and the employees of the Holy See, the Governorate of Vatican City State, and the Vicariate of Rome. This first meeting, Pope Leo XIV noted, is certainly not the occasion for programmatic speeches, but rather an opportunity for me to thank you for the service you carry out. Noting that popes come and go, and the curia remains, Pope Leo observed that this applies in every particular church to the diocesan curias, and it applies as well to the curia of the Bishop of Rome. The curia, he said, is the institution that preserves and transmits the historical memory of a church.
La memoria storica di una chiesa.
Of the ministry of its bishops. And this is very important. Memory, the Pope reiterated, is an essential element in a living organism and is not only oriented toward the past, but nourishes the present and guides the future. Without memory, he said, the path becomes lost, the journey loses its meaning. He then highlighted the missionary dimension of the Curia and of every institution linked to the Petrine ministry, which complements the dimension of memory. Then he acknowledged the call to serve the church here in the Roman Curia was a new mission, which, he said, I have shared with you these past 2 years as prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops. And he said, I continue and will continue it for as long as God wills in this service entrusted to me. Therefore, he continued, I repeat to you what I said in my first greeting on the evening of May 8th. We must seek together how to be a missionary church, a church that builds bridges, dialogue, always open to welcoming everyone with open arms, everyone who needs our charity, our presence, dialogue, and love. Pope Leo concluded his remarks with heartfelt thanks to the Vatican employees, and noting that May is the month of Mary.
Siamo nel mese di maggio, invochiamo insieme la Vergine Maria perché benedica la Curia Romana e la Città del Vaticano e anche le vostre famiglie.
He invited them to join him in praying a Hail Mary before giving them his apostolic blessing.
Allora diciamo insieme, Ave Maria, piena di grazia, il Signore è con te.
I'm Christopher Wells.
In this special Saturday broadcast, we also bring you a special feature interview done with the Apostolic Nuncio to the European Union, Archbishop Bernardino Auza. That was done here at the Vatican headquarters after his meeting, along with the presidency of the EU bishops, with Pope Leo. While certainly the focus of their discussions was on the need for peace and a just and lasting one in Ukraine, and the Pope expressed his concern regarding increased military spending and his hopes for disarmament, other themes were also treated. For instance, the transmission of the faith in families and the genuine interest of young people and children in the faith in God and religion. I spoke to him, and now let's listen to his reflections as he shares about his encounter with Pope Leo and priorities discussed.
I'm glad you asked that because I just lived in Spain yesterday. So Spain, certainly, you just have the jubilee of the fraternities, the hermandades, a confrerías, certainly. I want to say the stars of the processions, recently the Spanish, these huge fraternities like the Cachorro or the Virgen de la Esperanza of Malaga, and we still have bigger ones even. You have the Macarena, etc. You have the Triana, all this. And I have been invited to hundreds of, anniversaries, big anniversary, big festivities, 400 years, 600 years, and all this. So I kind of really have very, very close contacts with these confraternities. But that is really where I see that entire families gather. And the question of new evangelization is fundamentally the question of transmission of the faith from one generation to the next. And that is what constitutes really the structural problem, that there is no more channel of transmission, that the parents don't talk about the faith anymore, they don't go to church anymore. So the children really have not been... And now there is a movement that they are even to prohibit children from being baptized or to be taught about religion and until they become adults, that they could choose for themselves, you know. There's movements like that. So, but really, the role of the family in the transmission of faith, I mean, there is no question about it. It's more important than the parish. It's more important than the school, because it's really where the children really learn so many things at home. And seeing all this whole family, so the grandfather is the children, while the parents are very active in processions, etc. And the whole family would do the required charitable acts or acts of solidarity that these cofradías or hermandades would have in their statutes. It's really a kind of, not only a channel, it's really really like a, it's a pool where, you know, all these possibilities are there to transmit the faith. It's more than a transmission. It's more like an osmosis. You put a sponge in the water, and in this sponge there's the whole family there. So everybody imbibes, we might say, the water into that whole space. And it was a very good experience. And I think without this, especially that there are less and less religious congregations running schools. And there as, the parishes of people don't practice so much anymore like before. I mean, so the channel that is certainly also very challenged is families, completely challenged. I mean, the idea of, you know, trying to wean our children from the influence of parents is one of that certainly purposes of some of these movements, you know, to change not only the understanding, to change the understanding of the person, the understanding of the family, and it's the relationship between children and parents. And so it's very challenging. Many bishops would say, many people would say, especially parents, there are a very strong association of parents. And really, I think the church really sees these associations as fundamental in really maintaining this capacity from one generation to the next to transmit the faith.
Anything else you would like to add?
Well, I'll just say good afternoon. Thank you so much. Well, we're very glad to thank all the countries. It seems that there is so much really renewed interest and even a greater desire, more probably, to know more the Catholic Church and what is this smoke all about. So I could say that also. Of course, Spain is very, in a sense, familiar with the church, but as I said, we have lost that too. It's all these events, the death of the Pope, the election of the new Pope has given so much to the whole society because, of course, all the televisions on it, even those who are not really experts about the papacy would say something, and so it is a theme that has entered into everybody's house, everybody's television set, and everybody's internet connection. It's really... hope, a church that this will be a new inertia, really, a new push to just the last word the Pope mentioned. He said, you know, people, societies, governments will say that we don't want to talk to the young children because the children are not young children, or the youth, the young people are not interested anymore about the religion, about God. The Holy Father said, that's not true. There is thirst for Ariana. And then the one from France, the Archbishop of Dijon, said, that's very true. I mean, imagine this year they had a record in massive baptisms and Easter Vigil. And there is a record group of people having their catechism classes for, you know, Christian initiation. And it's also very true in Spain. I think it's everywhere. There's so much, seems to be renewed energy in young people, you know, the desire to come together again, the desire to listen to another, the desire to sit together and reflect, which has been, in a sense, lost during probably some years now. So there's still hope, and, you know, we all say that there is a moment of return after so much, probably, oh, we haven't heard of this. We haven't heard of Jesus Christ. Who's this guy? So I think there is so much there that we could do.
Thank you there to the nuncio during our conversation. And focusing on peace, let's listen to the latest update from Ukraine.
At least some people in Kiev longed for peace amid the largest prisoner exchange since the war began. Yet their dreams of a peaceful future were brutally interrupted overnight, with officials saying Russia launched 14 ballistic missiles and 250 drones in the early hours of Saturday. The army claimed Ukrainian forces shot down 6 missiles and stopped most of the drones before they reached Kiev. Yet the reality of war was still visible. Air defense systems were activated throughout the city as drone debris struck residential and non-residential buildings. Witnesses said they hit apartment blocks in the Dnipropetrovsk district and a shopping center in Obolon, in Kiev's northern suburbs. Fires broke out on multiple building floors, with residents reportedly hospitalized and significant damage reported. The strike comes just a day after Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov vowed retaliation for over 800 recent Ukrainian drone attacks on Russian soil, including in Moscow. An air alert in Kiev lasted more than 7 hours, underscoring the intensity and reach of the overnight attack. The strike happened hours after Russia and Ukraine began their largest prisoner exchange since the war broke out more than 3 years ago. Hundreds of soldiers and civilians, the first phase of a deal agreed in Istanbul, Turkey, were released. Ukrainian Defense Minister Rustem Umerov confirmed that 1,000 prisoners would be released on each side over the coming days. He said he hopes this will begin the road to peace.
Ukraine wants peace. The first step is to, as we indicated in our Istanbul visit, we wanted a ceasefire. We were ready. We couldn't achieve it, but we're working on it. Second one is prisoners of war and civilians. We achieved 1,000 for 1,000. And the next, after this, if it will be successful, as I said, firstly is exchanges, second is a ceasefire, and third step is a leaders meeting. Our president came to Turkey and he was waiting for a meeting. And after discussions with President Erdogan, he decided to send a Ukrainian team that was led by me.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of Vatican and World News. Thanks to our sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.